At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Buster Olney, our friend of the show, ESPN. You see him often on the sidelines. Buster, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on today.
My head is spinning. What day is it? What century is it? You get it promoted. Reminds me of being back in college, and you're studying for a final exam, and your head just full of facts and figures and names and all kinds of things. And as I'm saying this, I it's probably not an apt comparison because I didn't do well in college. I promise you.
Well, listen,
welcome
to the club. That makes a couple.
And we've all been incredibly successful, so there you go.
Buster, I mean, when do you think the first, like, real domino will fall? Because it just seems like right now, I mean, the deadline's Thursday. We're 48 hours out. I mean, at what point do you think the first big domino falls?
Yeah, it's like there was a poker game, and every round, everybody around the table is going, check,
yeah,
check, check. Right. And that's the way it feels. I texted with an executive earlier today who's involved in the starting pitching market, and I asked him about a couple of guys, and he was like, it's a slow-developing market. I think that, you know, that eventually there's going to be a barrage of deals. I mean, the dam is backed up. All of these contenders are looking for relief pitching. There's going to be a million of those, I think, to get traded between now and the deadline. I think the starting pitching market, eventually some of these teams that, you know, are holding out hope that maybe the price comes down on Joe Ryan of the Twins, or maybe the price comes down on Dylan Cease. You know, they will start to grab guys like Charlie Morton of the Baltimore Orioles. You know, guys who are more like 3-4s versus guys who could start game one, game two of the playoffs. I would not be surprised if later tonight we start to see that barrage, because at some point you got to get business done. The Orioles have like six guys they want to trade. The Tampa Bay Rays might wind up trading four guys. The Diamondbacks, you know, have 3-4 guys to go. So it's coming.
Buster Olney, of course, is with us, and we're giving him a rest so that he doesn't have to call a bunch of general managers for the next 15 minutes. Buster, you mentioned Cease. You know, he's been wildly inconsistent this year, although the strikeouts are there.
Yeah.
Let's ask from the Padres' perspective, though. If they parted with Cease, and it does seem to be heating up, what do they do, or what do they need back, you know, to make it make sense for a team that is still leading the wild card in the National League?
Yeah, major league controllable players.
Yeah,
who can help them right away. I agree, Chris, with what you're just saying. You didn't know if the Padres are necessarily going for prospects. They're not. They're in a win now window. They have an older team, generally speaking, with a rotation that's got to turn over in the next couple of years. And they need assets that can help them right now. They can't wait. So, you know, based on my conversations with other teams, what they're telling me is, and I'm just pulling names out of the air, okay? I'm not saying the Padres are interested in these guys. Luis Angel Acuña of the Mets, Brett Beatty of the Mets, Mark Vientos of the Mets, you know, those type of guys who would be under team control for a few years. You know, the issue with Cease is that while he is generally regarded as a, you know, high-end starting pitcher because he throws really hard, he misses bats. You guys know better than I do. It hasn't been a great year for him.
No.
He hasn't been dominant. And the perception of other teams is that the Padres want to get paid in return. They're looking for a return that reflects him as a frontline, you know, number one type starter versus what we've seen this year. And that, you know, and I think other teams are wondering, if we get closer to the deadline, will the Padres blink and come down a little bit, or will there be a team that'll blink and say, yes, we're desperate because the starting pitching market is so thin, we're desperate to pay the Padres what they're looking for. But they're looking for guys who can help them this year.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting, especially from that standpoint, because the other thing that Dylan Cease does is he pitches every fifth day. His dude is one of the top of the innings eaters in all of baseball.
Yep.
Not throwing the ball that great this year, but certainly has some of the other attributes that he's like. Buster Olney joins us here. And, Buster, what about a team like the Atlanta Braves? I mean, Alex Anthopoulos said earlier, maybe about a month ago, that this team would not sell under any circumstance. And I took that with a caveat, and not sell maybe the core, but there's certainly some pieces that I would think that they are looking to possibly move, I mean, whether it be to the Padres or anybody for that matter.
Yeah, they're going to move a couple of bullpen guys before the deadline. Rafael Iglesias will wind up landing with another team in this a game of musical chairs with relievers among the contenders. But a guy, you know, that I think makes some sense on paper for the Padres is Marcell Ozuna. Okay, he was an MVP candidate in 2024. There's a perception among scouts that maybe he hurt his hip early in the year. He hasn't been as good. He's got a really high walk rate, but he hasn't done as much damage. And right after the All-Star break, Brian Sitker, the manager of the Braves, who's always, you know, basically based his lineup choices on, you know, who's hitting well and who's not, they benched Ozuna. And they're playing their two catchers, Sean Murphy and Drake Baldwin, you know, sharing the catching spot with the DH spot, and that's what the future is. Ozuna's contract runs out at the end of this year. He's going to be a free agent. He's owed, as we speak, about $5.25 million for the rest of the year. I suspect that whether it's the Padres or some other team, the Braves would eat most of that money. Look, it's a sunk cost for them. They're not going to get anything in return. You basically could get Marcell Ozuna for free if you're comfortable with the lack of positional flexibility, which has become a big thing in baseball. That, you know, we're seeing it with the Yankees. Aaron Judge is hurt. He comes back as a DH. What does Giancarlo Stanton do? You know, that can cause some problems. But if you're the Padres and you're looking for a guy who could give you some thump, and you don't necessarily want to give up a bunch of prospects resources to get him, Ozuna is a really interesting name to me.
Buster Olney is with us. Buster, we got you on a day where a lot of other things are happening. So I'm going to take a little break from the trade deadline stuff because, as you said, it's all kind of guesswork at this point. But I think that story yesterday with Bryce Harper facing off against Rob Manfred is a big deal, you know, because maybe it even translates all the way out to people thinking that there will be a work stoppage. I mean, the players, Bryce Harper said it. We are not even going to let you say the word salary cap. And we know that that's going to be on the other side. So talk a little bit about that, what that face-to-face confrontation kind of signals for everybody.
So first and foremost, I think it's great that Bryce Harper spoke up and he spoke his truth to power. The union clearly needs more of that. Look, Anthony knows probably better than anyone. His dad didn't always have the warmest relationship with the union leadership, but when it came to labor stuff, he was absolutely out there and willing to say what he thought in support of the Players Association. And so I think it's good when Bryce Harper does this. I think this is being misinterpreted to some degree. The notion that Bryce Harper is speaking on behalf of a wide swath of players. I think he's speaking on behalf of the Scott Boras clients and maybe some other guys. But personally, this whole issue really reminds me of the PED conversation back in the late 90s. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the union leadership, Don Fehr, Gene Orza, just pounded the table. We're never going to have testing, privacy rights. You know, the leaders among the players would scream the same thing when you talk to them. And then when you talk to individual players privately, they kind of whisper in your ear, you know what, we kind of need testing.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't want to have to deal with that question. And in 2002, Joe Girardi, Todd Zeal, other guys told Fehr and Orza, look, we need testing. And here we are. This thing that the union leadership said would never happen, that's where we are. And now, with a salary cap, you know, you get a Bryce Harper saying what he said. Max Scherzer probably feels the same way. When I talk to individual players, rank and file, you get a lot of, hey, wait a second. If this means more money for more players, why don't we talk about it? And why don't we get some information on it? I personally think, and today I've spent a lot of time talking with people on the union side saying, look, what would you read on what Bryce said? And a lot of people are saying the union leadership needs to educate itself on what a salary cap would look like, because they need to articulate to the players why they don't want it, because there are going to be a ton of guys whose perspective is, if we can make more money for more guys, why not talk about it? Man, to stand on principle right now, I think it's a really dangerous, it's a dangerous thing for the union leadership to stand on. So many of the stories today were saying Bryce, you know, reflects the perspective of the union. And my response is, no, he reflects the perspective of the union leadership, which is very different than the rank and file.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's no doubt. This is kind of the divide and conquer. The PED thing lines up very similar, right? Because guys who were using, or guys who weren't, felt like they had an advantage. So that's why they kept, there was a divide in that, in terms of why we should get tested. Because the guys at the top are the guys who were using, they were the ones benefiting from it. And so you try to even the playing field. This one is a little bit more tricky because you know, the younger guys coming in, they may not be as educated on salary caps and how it all works. And I think Buster's spot on. Like, the union really wants to kind of, you know, poke a hole in this balloon that Rob Manfred has tried. They would be best served trying to educate this young group of players. Buster, I got to ask you something about one of the news that broke yesterday, which, you know, really hit me kind of hard. Ryan Sandberg, we lose him. Yesterday, you know, he had been fighting, he'd been dealing with cancer. He had kind of, it had gone in remission and it returned back. And it wasn't that long after it returned that he ends up passing away. I mean, what can you tell us? What can you say about Ryan Sandberg, the player, as well as the person?
So he was, and this is lost because he didn't have, you know, a 15 to 18, 20-year period of dominance the way that a Willie Mays or a Henry Aaron did. There was about a decade in baseball where he was the best player. And in some respects, his career wind up, Mike Trout's career might wind up mirroring Ryan Sandberg, where when you talk to guys from that era, they will tell you, man, that guy was dominant. He was a, you know, gold glove second baseman, steady, doing damage as a middle infielder, putting up big numbers every year. And so he was absolutely an impact player, and that's somewhat lost because of the fact that his career was curtailed by injuries. And then he was just so respected within the sport, which is why, you know, his Hall of Fame speech, when he, you know, this is someone who he didn't, like, veer toward microphones. He wasn't, like, the most quotable player during his time. He's relatively understated, relatively quiet. So when he, in his Hall of Fame speech, basically stood up there on the podium and said he came out against PED users and was really strong about it, it got people's attention because it came from Ryan Sandberg. You know, it's interesting. I think that, you know, we only recently saw the Cubs reuniting with Sammy Sosa, and I think a lot of that was out of respect for Ryan Sandberg because of what Sandberg said at the Hall of Fame.
We're losing too many of these guys. You know, it's been a bad stretch. I think it was about 20 guys since COVID, Buster, and every time it happens, man, I just feel like a little piece of my, you know, glory days of baseball kind of leave. You know, it's hard to hear these stories. I don't know what you can do.
Without a doubt.
Yeah,
without a doubt. And it, and he was one of those guys that, you know, seemed like really enjoyed the Hall of Fame. It's one of the things that I really thought was great this year was the fact that Ichiro, it looks like he's going to be the guy who takes the torch from Johnny Bench at some point. I mean, the fact that Ichiro was going to the Hall of Fame, you know, even, 2006, 2007, on his own, just going there because he loved baseball, and he's gone back there multiple times, you know, long before he got in the Hall of Fame. He will be one of the standard bearers going forward. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Buster, appreciate your time, man, as always. Love having you on. We'll catch up again after the break.
All right. I always love talking to you guys.
Appreciate you, Buster.
Appreciate it. Buster Olney, ESPN.